and welcome to the Under the Bus Podcast. I am Clayton, joined by Birch. Birch, how you doing, bro?
Everything turned to shit. What happened?
Yeah.
We suck again.
The Rob Snyder. Oh, no! We suck again.
But all things considered, I'm doing good.
Good. And we got our boy Alan on the last time we tried to get him on. I think he had a party after a Man U match. I think that's what it was. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Though. I can't remember. My life's a blur.
Yeah, I know.
To be honest with you.
I know. Being a teacher and everything, you just days roll into one another. It's just whatever.
Honestly.
I thought like 3 days in a row was like Tuesday last week. So
legitimately, like yeah. I came home like yesterday. So hello, happy to be on. For those of you that don't realize that I'm on the podcast, but I came home yesterday from work. Broke up yesterday for the winter break or the Christmas break. Happy Christmas, by the way, guys. And I fell asleep for about 3.5 hours and I woke up and I was still tired. Like, that's what teaching does to you.
Yep.
No, I just want to go back to sleep again.
Yep. My normal routine is waking up at like 3:30, 3:40 or whatever to get ready to go to the gym. I woke up at 3:15 so I could get to the gym a bit earlier and then still go get donuts for my classroom for my seventh graders because my eighth graders were a bunch of jerks. So they lost it. Excuse me. And at the time, you know, I get home and everything. And because of just like that extra, apparently 10 to 15 minutes, I fell asleep on the couch for about an hour and a half. And then we went and got food, came back home, and we were in bed by 8 o'clock and I was passed out by 8:30 and I didn't wake up until my alarm went off when we were expecting to do this a little earlier. So, I think I got in total, I think I got like almost 10 hours of sleep or something like that. It was great.
Teaching is hard, guys.
It, man, you're telling me I'm the one that's been doing it for a while, bro. I know. You should just
but
be
we
glad
wouldn't
that
trade
you
our got jobs for the world, though. That's
no,
the thing,
we wouldn't.
Right?
We wouldn't, even though there's some kids that I would like to get into a WWE match when they're 18 with bringing into guys this other hobby. When they're 18, let me specify that. When they're 18.
That's beautiful, man.
Okay. Yeah, as Merch said, the Lakers suck. We did not podcast last week because we just did not feel like it. It was a bad week after the Lakers won the quote-unquote title or whatever of the in-season tournament. They've gone completely balls up and suck ass. So it's in our opinion, it's honestly to blame on two people, and two people that I think that we have defended a
more
lot
than anyone.
The first one, Darvin Ham, we've defended him since last year, even with dealing with Russ and everything. It was just kind of like, you know, I kept saying, you know, why, when everyone was like, why are they playing Russ and Pat Bev and Austin and so-and-so together? And I'm just like, what else are they supposed to do? They're going to have to play all those guys. And, you know, you just kind of also have to try and show that they can sort of work so you can get something for them, right?
Yep.
And then trades happened and things started looking a little bit better. It's not amazing, but we were like, you know what, Darvin will develop as a coach. It'll be fine. He, you know, got to the Western Conference Finals and just like, see, everything started looking better. They just ran out of steam. And then Merge and I, at least, have been huge fans of D'Angelo Russell since, what was it, the 2015 draft? And
all
Alan,
three of us.
Yeah, but I'm just meaning cause since Merge and I used to talk, you know, back in the about, you know, how high we were on D'Lo and everything. But D'Lo had an amazing November, and then December, he literally looks like he is trying to just play his way out of LA. And it's just at this point, go ahead and give it to him. The move that keeps it floating around is obviously Zach LaVine. I still don't know if that's the move. I think that would be best. I know it would help the offense.
I'd do it then, 10 times out of 10 at the moment, though. Like,
at the moment, yeah. But the problem is then I don't think you have a point guard to really run the team. Because, like, well, we could say Austin can do it. I don't like Austin as a primary point guard. That's my thing. Chicago doesn't really have a point guard that you want.
No.
You know?
Like, they don't really have to have a true point guard, to be honest. I mean, because Kobe's a two, Caruso's a two, DeRozan handles it a lot.
Yeah. So, I mean,
tell you what, though, Kobe in December has been unreal for them. I know sidebar, Kobe, but like,
Kobe White is still garbage. I don't care what anyone says. I'm still so
he's been
tired.
Phenomenal. I'm just calling this spade a spade.
No, for sure. I'm just, oh man, I remember when Lakers fans were just like, oh, his name is Kobe. Just like, oh my God, shut the fuck up.
I've missed this.
Yeah, I do think LeBron would obviously take over point guard role in that case. Which if that's what were to happen, it'd be fine. But
I think that's what LeBron wants.
Yeah, I think so too. He was acting like that earlier in the year, and I think even though like we always get worried like about him bringing the ball up every time, you do have Austin. You would have LaVine being able to do that, but then like you just. Once you're finally past the half court, which sounds stupid, but like the ball's going to be in LeBron's hands most of the time anyway. So like at this point, if you did that trade, fuck it, whatever, you know, like even if it's just for LaVine, do it at this point. I don't really care. Some combination of like D'Lo, Gabe Vincent, Torian Prince, and I don't
Ruiz going to be included in any trade like that.
I know. I'm just trying to avoid it. But you know, if it has to be,
I mean,
if Darvin would rather sacrifice his firstborn than let Torian Prince go. I hope you realize this.
Right.
Yep.
Rui probably will be involved too. And this also goes to back to Darvin. Of last year, Rui looked really freaking good in LA. Right.
Yep.
He had came on really hot and then he kind of cooled off. But then in the playoffs, he turned it back on again and he hung out with LeBron like all summer, going on vacations with them and everything. And then like Darvin heard all that and he's like, you know what? Let me fuck all this up. All this work that everyone put into this, the front office signing him to
a really good deal.
A reasonable deal. We were like, okay, like this is one of their building blocks. And then they were just like, nope, let's fuck it around. And, or Darvin was like, let's fuck it around and just not play him very much. And then, you have to play him and they haven't. And I understand like he broke his nose and I think he rolled his ankle or something earlier in the year. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's just like, for the love of God, Darvin. What the fuck are you doing? And then D'Lo, pull your head out of your ass, like, and play like you did in November.
Hey man, the Lakers, defense is extra.
God, like, we have tried to defend him so many times, dating back to the first time he was in LA. And honestly, that whole quote, I'm done. Like, nope, dog. Do you not realize why no one wants to give you a big deal anymore?
Like even if why it wasn't the case, optics are horrible. The optics are horrible saying something like that.
I know.
No one's going to want you on their team, dude.
Yeah. Like, I get, like, you're upset that you said, because it's essentially a two-year deal, but it's really a one-year deal. And you're probably mad about that, and it wasn't as much money as you wanted, and this, that, and the other. Dog, you made over $100 million in your career. Shut the fuck up, play some basketball, and, like, don't be a cunt to everyone, man. Like, that's the thing. Like, And again, going back to Darvin, of if he's playing like dog shit, like Torian Prince did for most of the year, why are you continuing to play him big minutes? Play Austin more. Like, Austin has had his ups and downs, but at least, like, he's never let up on effort. That's one thing that, like, you can say about him. Like, Austin is in there with, like Cam has been up and down as well, like, in his offense and whatnot. His defense hasn't faltered, I don't think. I haven't gotten to watch a ton recently because I've just been box score watching, unfortunately. I've just been busy with wrapping up the semester and everything. But, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, how to go from such the high of winning this inaugural in-season tournament to then losing 5 of 6, I think it was.
Like we said before we started, it's 5 of 6, and the only game they won was a squeaker against the Spurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So essentially 6. And I'm counting that as 6 losses.
Yeah. I mean, like, they should have – like, if D'Lo plays better, they should have beaten the Timberwolves, even though Ant was going crazy. Chicago, oh, my God. Seeing LeBron go and ham it up with Zach LaVine kind of pissed me off. Like, of essentially – it felt like in – and I know I'm not the only one because the fucking timeline was going rampant with that shit of looks like LeBron's talking to his next in-season trade guy, you know, and bringing clutch to LA. Like, God, dog, like, just fucking leave him alone. Like, go give him a handshake, like, yo, what's up, and then leave. You don't have to be like that with everyone that's on your buddy's agency roster, you know. Like,
but it was like all three of the guys that we've been rumored to be interested in. It was LaVine, it was DeRozan, and it was Caruso. It was all three of them.
Yeah, I know. And like, I would get it. I would get it with Caruso. You won a title with him.
Yeah,
he's beat the shit out of DeMar DeRozan his entire fucking career.
Like, you know, it's a meme online. It's literally a meme online. It's
LeBronto. Meme.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and then LaVine, like, you have, other than clutch, you have no connections with. I don't know if they were ever on Team USA together or anything like that.
What are those teams called? The select team or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
All-Star games as well, probably.
Yeah, I guess All-Star games, but, like, those don't fucking...
That's a lot of other... You can say the same about, like, Giannis. He's been in All-Star game with Giannis. Like,
yeah.
No, yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm just trying to, like, think of, like, potential reasons and shit.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. I don't know. I'm not trying to be old man, yell at the clouds of, like, you're not supposed to be friends with your, you know, other players on other teams. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I am saying, though, is just, like, you went over to three guys that you know those are the rumored guys, and you're going to go ham it up. And because, I mean, like, people aren't going to like what I have to say, but, like, LeBron, a lot of times when he has a camera on him, he's like Russell Wilson of, like, he hams it up for the camera, you know, like.
Yeah, of course he does. He's always done it. Know?
And he knows. So he knows exactly what the fuck he's doing there. And also, God forbid, if DeMar DeRozan is traded to L.A., I will not watch a single fucking minute. That right there is Russell Westbrook 2.0 for me. Like, absolutely not.
I think, to be fair about DeMar is, I think it's very obvious. He's been very obviously, like, loosely rumored, and the DeRozan stuff isn't really, doesn't, like,
the DeRozan stuff is much more Knicks in Miami. A lot more Knicks in Miami.
Yeah. That's the, like, rumor.
To be
where
fair
wants,
to that rumor.
Wants to go. Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. I'm just meaning, like, it feels like there's a certain writer on The Athletic that continues to bring his name up, and I'm just tired of it.
Speaking of hamming something up, let's talk about Darvin Ham's coaching.
Let's go ahead and talk about Darvin Ham's coaching. You brought it up. You go. Yeah, I've already ranted enough.
Yeah, I mean, to go off your point of like, yeah, we've defended both these guys a lot. And it's gotten to the point where it's not just like, oh, he's only been a head coach for a little bit. It's fine, sort of stuff. It's like, how are we watching the same game? That's essentially what I do half the time watching league games. Are we watching the same game? Why are we? Why are we closing the game once again with D'Lo, Austin, and Torian Prince? It doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It's our worst starting lineup for a reason. Why do you always go back to it? Which is like it's just the tip of the iceberg on poor coaching decisions. Like, I understand Wood and Hayes have been bad. They both have not been good.
Yeah, after the in-season tournament, yeah.
But you know why? Because a lot of time they play with each other. Yeah. Why do we do that? Why do we have Jackson Hayes and Christian on the court?
I do get the idea of it. And the original trying out of it, I get, because Jackson is more rim runner of defensive minded type thing, you know, and Christian Wood is more essentially like a float around the perimeter four type, you know, even though he's the size of a five. So in theory, I get it. The problem is
what the theory works better.
It's continued to be done. Huh?
Yeah. And then, yeah. You know, when how theory works better, you play the guy who is clearly better. Who's like a top eight player in the world right now. And Anthony Davis.
No, for sure.
So
like early in the season, I get it, but you're almost halfway there. You know, it's what, game 30 tonight or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Do they play tonight?
Something like that. Yeah, they played the Thunder tonight, which is a must win, according to Anthony Davis.
Which, I mean, at this point, it kind of is. They're
morale, because you will get dog walked by the Celtics.
They are the 9 seed right now.
And
are they the 10th? I was just looking at it.
The Lakers play the Thunder and the Celtics. The Warriors play the Blazers within the next 3 days. The Lakers lose the next two, and the Warriors win the next one. The Lakers will be the 11th seed.
Yeah, fucking sake, man. Yeah, right now they are the 9 seed behind the Rockets. They are 4-6 in their last 10. Thankfully, the Suns are 3-7 in their last 10. But like,
stinky.
Yeah, it is amazing how poorly the Lakers have played after that in season tournament. And like, the Pacers are 5-5, so like, I get kind of like that let down after that little shindig bullshit, you know. And
But the Pacers are also Genie. A team, right?
I was just gonna say, shout out to Genie for caving to Adam Silver for displaying a bullshit banner that no one fucking cares about. That was
NBA 100% forced that on the Lakers.
100% after saying they didn't want to do it, and then they're like, you know what, we'll do it. Like, fucking hell, man.
Like, I mean, I get it from the NBA side, but it was 100% forced.
So fucking stupid. Like, the I still say the in-season tournament didn't make a lot of sense. It was whatever. And the fact that game doesn't count towards their record is also kind of fucking lame.
Especially when 80 had a fucking insane game now. That's annoying to me.
40 and 20. Like, God. But
it doesn't count for the history books.
Yeah.
Just like I said before we started recording too, why did we go away from how we were playing in that? Like, in terms of not just like intent, like trying harder, but like the style of play has completely shifted. We went from a defense first, we're gonna beat the shit out of you team, to let's have D'Lo shoot 1,000 threes and have Torian Prince shoot 1,000 threes, and when Gabe Vincent is gonna play, which he's back, he's gonna shoot 1,000 threes and probably make only 2 of them. Which he has the whole season. I know he's been hurt, but whatever. I'm over it at this point.
Real quick, you brought him up. Why the fuck are Lakers fans acting like him coming back is gonna change some shit?
honestly, at this point, he might be better than D'Lo, so I'm fine trying it out. But he has to bullshit D'Lo's minutes.
He's still not a point guard. He's still not a point guard. I don't give a shit that he's only 6'2". He's not a point guard. He's a two. He's not even a very good two. You overpaid him. I don't give a fuck what anyone has to say. I just that deal still to me is frustrating. The one thing I'll say, hey, at least he was on the bench for the majority of the games, because I don't remember who in the DMs we were talking about how when someone else Kendrick Nunn, so the original Miami cast off that the Lakers overpaid, how Kendrick Nunn was like never at games. At least I guess Gabe Vincent was, but
that was weird.
But yeah, I don't know. Like
why have we gone away from that style of play? Like it was so, yeah. It was working out so much, like killing teams defensively. I haven't looked at our defensive rating since the IST, because I know we were like eighth coming out of it. I know the Pacers game didn't count, but I know we were like top 10 at least coming out of Vegas. We have to be like almost 20 at this point. The defense has been so bad.
They've given up 118 to the Wolves, 124 to the Bulls, 114 to the Knicks, 129 to the Spurs, 119 also to the Spurs, 127. I just messed up. To the Mavericks. Their lowest scoring opponent.
That's the Mavericks without Kyrie Irving and like half their rotation.
Yeah. Like a game they should have easily won. They
Dante Exum game. That was so frustrating.
He made like nine threes. He raised his in-season three-point shooting from like 27% to 40% in one game. It was incredible.
So Dante Exum played in Serbia last year, right? Funny story.
I still loved Dante Exum. He's not good, but like I loved him coming out.
So he shot like 25% from three in Europe last year. And the Serbian reporters, because obviously Bosnian and Serbian, same language. But like reading the...
Oh, geez.
Oh, no. You got to message him that he just got somehow... He somehow left.
Hold on.
We'll wait for that. But like that game.
There you
like
go.
One it thing
kicks me
like
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
thing,
good.
Like
you're...
one thing really quick is Stu Lance, which I can't stand him. He needs to retire. And I get like the Lakers announcers aren't incredibly biased, and that's fine. But God, they're awful. But one thing Stu Lance seems to say almost every game, and it happens without failure, is like the Lakers need to not have that that third unexpected star, you know? And God, if they always seem to have that, it's just incredible. I'm just at this point, I think it's just voodoo magic by Stu Lance. It's just he says it, and it's gonna fucking happen. I am 100% convinced that shit is real, that he says it and it happens.
You know what? I gotta give Dante some credit because he's actually been really good recently. He's starting for the Mavericks now, and he's had double figures in each of his last eight games. So he's actually been really good for the Mavericks this year.
That was back when we actually cared that people liked Kobe back in the day, and he was a huge Kobe fan.
Yeah. Yeah, since he started, he's averaging like 18 nice. 4-4. He's shooting 60% from three in his last eight games. I wonder how it got up to that much.
That's insane. Alan, you were saying though that the Serbian reporters were talking to him about a shooting or something.
Yeah, so there was a report because you know we love the NBA, and there was a report on Serbian press about it, and they essentially went, if he shot like this, Partizan Belgrade would have won the EuroLeague. They went, he was so awful for us. They went, lovely guy, played really hard, but they said maybe we need to play the Lakers every week.
So true. It's so true, man. Just the history of someone who is going to go bananas against the Lakers. And
it happens all the time.
It happens all the fucking time, man. I pray for the day that that doesn't happen anymore. But I don't know why I bother praying for it, because it's just, it's inevitable.
It's inevitable. It's like Thanos.
Yep, exactly. So, but yeah, we've ranted already a lot.
Let's give this a couple of props, because they have been very good, even though the team has sucked. But AD and Austin Reaves have been very good. Austin, especially since like mid-November, has been really good. I mean, obviously AD's AD, but like after that really bad start that Austin had, he's been really good. I think, I don't know what his 3-point percentage is up to now, but I think I saw our buddy Raj say that he has been shooting 48% on pull up threes this month, which is really good. Obviously, he needs to play more. He needs to start. Point blank, blank period. He needs to be a starter now. And
Alan is having all sorts of technical issues. It's fantastic.
It's my iPhone. The internet's fine. That's the worst part.
It's hysterical, man. It's hysterical.
But yes, Austin and AD have been very good. AD is having his most efficient season ever. From the free throw line, I mean, he's up to like 37% from three, shooting close to 50% from the field. I think he's actually been making his jumpers, his mid-range jumpers recently too. Mm-hmm. Which makes all these losses all the more frustrating when AD is playing out of his mind and we're losing these games. But I don't know if you guys have anything to add about AD or Austin.
No, they've been phenomenal.
I feel really sorry for him. Like everything that people wanted Anthony Davis to be this season, he has been. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the
missed what, two games?
Down. Yeah.
Yeah, only missed two games. The one against, I think it was Houston.
When they got murdered. After,
yeah. And that was the game after he rolled his ankle in Miami in third quarter. Yes. He's the crazy thing is he's still playing good, and he hasn't even been healthy.
No.
Very healthy. Mm-mm. But he's been playing.
If anything, he's been more injured than he was the last couple years in the first part of the season. But I'm 100% certain there is, in the back of his head, he's worried about people, like, not worried, but he's like, if I don't play, I'm going to be called soft, essentially. Which fucking sucks, in my opinion, because, like, he very clearly is, like, the injury stuff is not, like, him being a bitch. People, like, he clearly wants to play. Had just gotten very unlucky with injuries, which is why he didn't play as much as he did before.
Precisely.
But I bet now, like, there's probably a couple of games that he probably should have sat. Especially because we ended up losing them anyway. And he ended up playing. So it's like, he's been a warrior so far this year. He's been one of the best players in the league, for my estimation. Like we saw that game against the Pacers. Like, when he's that guy, and he's been that guy more often than not, he is a top five player in the league. He's probably the best big not named Nikola Jokic, essentially.
Yeah, completely agree.
And I find it very funny seeing Clipper fans trying to compare James Harden to Austin Reaves as third stars, which is hilarious to me. It's James Harden. He's supposed to be putting up almost 18 a night. And if you don't include like the first like 5 to 10 games for Austin too, I bet those numbers look a lot better right now as well. Cause he's up to like almost 16 a game, and he's been putting up close to 20 a game recently. So, but like at this point, there needs to be a different starting lineup tonight. There needs to be. I don't know how you can, like, even an idiot, which Darvin Ham has been, has to see that you need to change the lineup somehow. Austin needs to start.
I don't disagree. But I don't think it's just D'Lo that needs to be taken out of the starting lineup.
No, and again, like we said before the podcast, it should be that Lamar Odom lamp that's been floating around that Lamar Odom himself said on a podcast. It should be that like giant lineup.
Yeah. Which, you have this size, just fucking play. And like, I would get not playing Vando, starting Vando, just because like he seems to not be 100% yet. But like, so then essentially just swap Vando out for Reddish. Take Torian Prince the fuck out of the game. I don't care that he's been shooting better. Okay. His defense has been so bad that it does not, the shooting does not make up for it. It does not make
and,
up for it.
And that is Darvin's fault because he's on the best players every night. He's on the best players every night.
I know. This is that has been one of my big gripes with Torian all year. Wasn't like the shooting was not great, obviously, but it was an easy thing to point to. Like, but like his defense is so fucking bad. He is such a bad defender. Like, he's not average, Darvin. He's at this point, I don't even think he's below average. He's severely deficient on the basketball or on the defensive side. Like, it's just so incredibly bad. He cannot defend stars every night. And that's what, like, if he starts tonight, I guarantee you he's going to be defending Shea, and he's going to get fucking destroyed.
So Shea will put up 20. Last time
Shea will put up 15 to 20 in the first quarter. Then like Cam will finally like fuck you. I'm gonna go defend him and start to slow him down, and he'll end up like 40 because of course Darvin will be like, you know what? No, Torian, go defend him like in the fourth quarter in crunch time. Like, and then he's just gonna bend him over, and like
we've seen games like with D'Lo when he was like. The only reason his numbers looked salvageable from the last game was because he went on a little hot streak when they were already down by about 8 and the game was almost over.
Yeah.
But before that, he was like 3 for 12. He was not making his threes. He was turning the ball. Like, he has some dumb turnovers, D'Angelo. For a guy who can be so good at not turning the ball over at points, he is making some of the dumbest passes.
He had what? He had what, a turnover ratio at one point that was like 60-6 for a good long stretch, and then it seems like he's seeing all the rumors because you have a particular athletic writer who he does not know how to write anything else about other than a Zach LaVine trade at this fucking point that. It's just like nonstop. So it's like he's just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, if you want to trade me or you guys want to talk about it, then let's fucking send me out of here. And
I'm sorry, you're a Laker. Cry me a fucking river.
Yeah.
Like, get used to it. You are a Laker. It's going to happen. Yeah. Go some fucking balls.
There's two fucking people on this roster that won't ever be in trade discussions, and it's LeBron and AD. Those are the only two.
Literally.
And even at that, You'll have some dumbasses online trying to put AD in trade discussions.
And has AD been a fucking bitch about it? No. You know what AD does? You know what AD does when he hears that chair? He plays fucking better. That's what he does. Yeah. That's why AD is a superstar. Instead of
moping around like a little bitch. Like, I don't know. I'm so done. I'm so done. Really, really quick. I'm springing this on you guys. Of course, trade season is in season. December 15th has passed. Of course, for like Ruby to be dealt, it needs to be January 15th. But we already mentioned Zach, and at this point, I think we would all do it, especially if we could somehow loop Caruso into it.
100%.
Which at this point, I believe if you did Caruso and LaVine and you did D'Lo, Ruby, Gabe, and Torian, I believe the salaries match, and then you just have to throw in like obviously incentives to get that done. I'm just going based off of like I'm cherry picking here. Fanspo, you know, the actual good trade machine, because the ESPN trade machine sucks. I'm just going off of like some of the players being named. Pascal Siakam is not a name that has been rumored, so I'm not going to bother. But last year, Bojan Bogdanovic was talked about a lot. That is one dude on the Pistons I'm not interested in. The one I am interested in.
Jaden Ivey.
Jaden Ivey. Give him Jaden Ivey. Yes. Thank you.
Hold on. Another very quick aside. Just for a second. Can we talk about the Detroit Pistons?
Oh, God. They're so bad. I don't even want to talk about the Detroit Pistons. I want to focus on how bad a coach Monty Williams is. People have tried to give him like this elite coaching status for years, and he has not been a good coach. The reason why the Phoenix Suns were so good while he was the head coach was not because of Monty Williams. It was because Chris Paul got there and went super, was the superstar that he was until obviously age finally caught up with him, and Devin Booker took another step forward. If anything,
also his staff was really good. Like Willie Green's a really good coach.
Oh yeah,
like I think that's gone under the radar. I think Willie Green got his job under shit circumstances in New Orleans, but like remember when they were trying to tie what was the lady called who worked in New Orleans? Was it Tessa Witherspoon?
Yeah.
When Tessa Witherspoon didn't get the job and people went all over him going, well, you know, what's Willie Green done and all this stuff. Willie Green is a damn good basketball coach and he deserves a ton of respect. Not because when you think about Zion
doesn't know how to back away from a buffet table.
But I think I also think Zion's doing that a little bit intentionally to be traded. Oh, personally.
Yeah, for sure.
I think if he's in New York or in LA, he's not doing the stuff he's doing in New Orleans.
Probably. Like, also, did you see also something in his contract triggered that the last 3 years of his deal is not fully guaranteed?
Really?
I did. Yes. Yeah. He only played 27 games.
Yeah. I didn't get to read all last of it. Season. Because the notification
and it's from The Athletic
away.
As well.
Yeah. It was on a couple different sites and it was really interesting. So it's not all fully guaranteed anymore. So, but yeah, no, Monty is a bad coach. He had a good staff, and Chris Paul came in and turned that, because the Suns were like not even a playoff team before Chris Paul got there. If anything, we could talk about how DeAndre Ayton took a step back with Monty Williams. And now it looks like DeAndre Ayton looks like he might not really be able to recover. No, he's looked bad with the Blazers.
I've watched him twice and he looks good for me.
Two games. Yeah.
Two good games
because I just saw a trade that, of course, like Blazers Edge or whatever, their SB Nation one of a trade with the Pistons and like the guy from
my God. The Pistons don't need more big men.
No. Well, yeah, that was one of them. I don't remember. No. It was essentially Jeremy Grant and Matthias Thybul for like chump change. It was like Marvin Bagley, who's been okay, 3 first round picks and like some
picks.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant's pretty good. I mean, I think that's three.
Good?
No, I don't think so. But I mean, like, I think Thybul could probably get you an end of first round pick. He's really good defensively still. But you know, like that they were just talking about how bad Ayton has been, and it's just like, oh boy. Like he doesn't look like he's been able to recover because of Monty Williams was supposed to be a player's coach, and he goes out and rips, of course, DeAndre Ayton, the only guy on those teams that were given a shit at the time. Like just clownish behavior. No wonder like he didn't want to fuck around with you. Like
you know what? For all the crap we give Glenn Rivers, right? And we give him a lot. Glenn Rivers is what people think Monty Williams is.
Yeah.
Which is I think Glenn's a decent coach. I don't think he's anything more than that.
Definitely not a top 15 coach of all time. Like
No, absolutely not. No, but he's a decent coach. Obviously he has the blown leads and what have you, and we all like to clown him for that, obviously. You know, it's part of being a Laker fan. But he is legitimately what people think Monty Williams is. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he is. He's a decent coach who the players seem to like. Like, you rarely see anyone say bad stuff about Doc when he's been coached by Doc.
Unless your name's Ben Simmons. I want him,
by the way. Yeah, but Ben Simmons is like, you know, you have your own problems, dude. Like,
I mean, I think James Harden wasn't especially a huge fan of.
But again, like, we're talking Doc, about like two of the people who have questionable.
Two of the biggest bitches around. Yes, I'll say it for you.
Thanks, yeah. Clay. Very questionable human beings.
Yeah.
You
did it the nice way. I'm gonna do it the straight up way.
But do you get what I mean? Monty, yeah. However, I sort of got it from the Pistons standpoint, like just hiring him, giving him the biggest contract ever, however, for a coach was ridiculous.
Oh my word. That was what so was it? Fast.
Like 7 years, like 80, 90 million, something like that?
Yeah. Well, he turned him down first time and they went, we'll give you another 15 million.
God. And
he probably just went, okay.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah, money sucks. He's so bad. All right, let me really quick go through a couple other names on this list, just that are trending. OG Anunoby. Yes.
Yes.
I would.
100%. Yes. Every time.
Yes. Yes. Alex Crusoe. Yes. Yes. I would. Yeah. Evan Fournier. No. No, I would God, not. No,
if it was a buyout, okay, maybe, right? Sure, but
yeah.
No.
Buyout, absolutely. Yeah. Buyout, I would do. 100%.
Gary Harris. Not anymore. Like, no. Three or
has
four
he been bad
years ago, he's just not that. He's just not what he was. So, like, he's just, no, thank you.
It was like a second-round pick, then sure. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But also, yeah. Like, I don't think Gary Harris is doing anything for this team.
But also,
that isn't already,
you know,
present.
Orlando's a really good team, and Gary Harris is not playing.
Yeah, yeah. This is a name that's really interesting, and it's one that I would love to have our buddy from the DMs, Ben Rosales, on to talk about. Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah,
he's very interesting.
I'd love Lauri.
It depends on what we're giving up, in my opinion.
I'd do it. He's so good. I know you don't like the white Europeans, Clay.
Oh, no, it's not about the white Europeans. I love Luka. I loved Luka like 3 years before he was drafted. Oh.
Yeah, but I have to give you shit for that. You know this.
But also, what other white Europeans are there? I love Seti.
Jokic.
I love Seti. I like Jokic. I don't adore him like NBA Twitter does. I find him more funny than especially Allen because of the horse stuff. It makes it so
big
much
horse.
Funnier for me. Big horse is in on this. I've loved Seti Osman.
Patriarchy ruining the NBA.
I know. ever since God dang, Seti was in Cleveland as a second round pick, I think it was. I've loved Seti. I'm trying to think. Like, Tony Kukoc is one of my favorite players ever. Like, legitimately, he was my second favorite player growing up behind Jordan. I liked him more than I liked Pippen. Like, I love Tony Kukoc. Like,
yeah, because Kukoc is a better basketball player overall. That's why. As a basketball player, he's better.
I could see that. I loved Sabonis
as well.
Yeah. Loved Arvidas. Oh my word. I wish we could have seen Arvidas before the knees were shot, man. Cause like
that's a joy to behold.
Man. Oh my gosh. I like DeMontis. I still think he's like your third best player. You know? I think and
I've always said that. I agree with that. Like I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
But I also get why the Kings did it. Like it's made them a relevant NBA team.
Yeah, I still think it should have been De'Aaron that they traded, but whatever. And I like Sabonis. Especially once I separate him from that trade, I just always, you know me, I always just go ball handlers over big men. So
you know who's been solid for the Magic and it's very annoying. It goes with it. Goga Bitadze. Oh. He's actually been solid for the Magic. Yes.
I love Bitadze coming out of the draft. I loved him. And then this year, I was just trying to speak it into existence as a second big man, like as the backup five, and it just never happened.
You know who else has been really solid for the Magic? Mo Wagner.
He's been really good for them.
He's been, whatever. Anyways, Lauri Markkanen. I just don't like the pairing of him and AD. I know it like fits theoretically, but like I just have never been a marketing guy. I feel like once he got to LA, he would just become a fucking awful. Really quick, I'm gonna skip over one name. But Malcolm Brogdon. No, actually, DeRozan isn't even on here yet. Okay. Malcolm Brogdon. No. The name that I skipped over was Donovan Mitchell, because I think we all can say yes to that one.
You did that yesterday.
If we can get Donovan Mitchell, right, I will sacrifice going to LA for 5 years. Right, that is my deal with the devil right now.
My sick dream at the moment is getting LaVine, and then the Pistons just falling so out of favor for Jaden Ivey that they give Jaden Ivey up for like chump change.
Which I think they're about to.
Jaden Ivey.
I think they are about to, which is insane. They loved him coming out of that draft. Like they apparently tried to trade up for him, and they took him at like four, whatever it was. Like
he's been good recently. I think he had like 24, like 7-5, 2 blocks, 3 steals.
But guess who doesn't like him? Monty Williams.
Like yeah.
Like you know,
I feel so bad for him and for Cade and for Jalen.
On the precipice, they should be on the precipice of the playoff talk in the East with that roster.
They literally like those first 3 games of the season, they looked good. Then they've lost 25 since then.
God, I know. He's been good the last like 4 games, especially. Yeah, he had 24, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks against the Jazz, and it just still didn't matter. Against the Hawks, he had 15.
It was a Jazz team, like, a Jazz team that didn't have Lauri, Jordan Clarkson, THT. They were all hurt.
Oh my god!
Keontae George was also hurt, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I think so.
I can't.
They had Jovic playing real minutes in that game.
Yeah, I can't. Okay.
I have a name. I have an interesting name. As well.
Okay, one thing. We'll get to the name. Alan brought up Glenn Rivers. As many of you know him as Doc, we don't call him by that shitty nickname. Glenn. The Bovoda official put out a hysterical list of potential head coaches for the Lakers next year. Or this year, it didn't really specify.
Just the next,
whoever the next coach is going to be.
Yeah, it was like Phil Handy. If Phil Handy was going to be the head coach, or like was going to change some things, I just feel like it would have happened already. I think he's like I wouldn't mind giving him the shot, but yeah, Juwan Howard at +600. No, Juwan Howard is not a good coach. He has shown at Michigan the last 2 years he's not very good. Jared Dudley, I love Jared, but I think he's just a Darvin type guy.
Well, he would still need like 5 to 10 more years as an assistant. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Kenny Atkinson, yes.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah.
I'd do it.
I would do it.
Tomorrow. Him or Stotts, I think I'd be cool with. Yeah.
Scott is so far down the list, it's insane. Sam Cassell.
Glenn is even on Wood. There. Yes, Wood too. Huh?
Glenn's not even on the list.
It's weird, which is weird to me. Like, Skip Bayless is on there.
I know.
So my thing with Glenn is...
He's at plus 100,000.
I know, but Glenn at all isn't in there.
my thing with Glenn is, and you guys can tell me if I am being slightly idiotic. I think Glenn has been really, really good on ESPN.
Oh, no. I agree. He's been great on commentary.
Glenn as the commentator is so good.
And I think he's really enjoying it.
Like a solid dude as well.
Yeah.
He's just
Like as a human being, I quite like him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know what I like about it? There's no, like, do you remember the IST final where Doris was trying to create some agenda against Anthony Davis? And he just shot her down going, no, Anthony Davis is really, really, really good. Like, Doris just be quiet.
Taking a step back, and it's really sad.
I think it's because this is my two cents. If they try to get Glenn to be this hot takey guy, and Glenn went, no, I don't need to be. I have the money to just not do it.
Yeah.
So they've gone to Doris and been like, look, Mike Breen won't do it because Mike Breen is just great and he's not about that. Exactly. Yeah. Glenn won't do it because he has too much money.
Yeah.
We need you to do it and we'll move you up to number one.
Yeah.
To the number one booth. Which I don't blame her. Please don't, like, Doris Burke is phenomenal up until I feel like this past like 6-7 months.
I think about a year or two she started to take a drop, but anyways. But
even still, we've been massive proponents for her in the past, so please don't think that we're like harping on about her. We're not. It's like she was legitimately phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I feel like ESPN needed her to be hot takey and she's gone down that route.
Yeah.
That's my two cents.
Okay, rest of the list really quick. Some hysterical names on here. Jamal Mosley is the head coach of the Orlando Magic. Quinn Snyder, the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. JB Bickerstaff, the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Steve Clifford, I'm pretty sure he's like the Hornets head coach at the moment.
Yep.
Is he though?
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Because I thought that they had hired someone else. Maybe.
Nope.
They did. Yeah, he got fired and then he came back.
They brought back. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mike Brown, the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. Billy Donovan.
I mean, yeah. I definitely would.
Yeah. Billy Donovan, the head coach of a bad Chicago Bulls team. Yes, they're on a run, but like he's been a bad coach for years. LeBron James.
LeBron James will never, ever, ever coach.
Mark Jackson.
No, he'd be like Magic Johnson.
The nugget after that is finally you get to Terry Stotts.
That's crazy. Finally to me.
You get to Terry Stotts at plus 20.
Like an actual coach.
The actual coach. And then after Stotts, then you have Chris Finch, who is the head coach of the Timberwolves.
He's doing a phenomenal job.
He's doing a great job there. Like, it's just, and then of course
we talked about it.
Sam Van Gundy at 5,000, which neither of those are like Jeff Van Gundy has not been a good coach, like possibly ever. Stan showed that he's just not a good coach anymore. And then Skip Bayless at 100,000.
Great human though.
Like, oh my god,
I love Stan Van Gundy.
He said some things in the past few months that I'm just like, whatever. But so yeah, no.
We talked about it in the past. When we needed head coaches, that was when there weren't any good coaches. And when we haven't needed a head coach, that's when all the good head coaches, like Nick Nurse, Quinn Snyder, like guys like a Mosley, who I think may have been an option for the Lakers if he was available. Isn't he a clutch guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a clutch guy. So Mosley would have been an option. Chris Finch, you probably could have tried to get like a bunch of people. Tyronn Lue, who should have been the Lakers coach. Point blank here. I would still do whatever I have to do to get Ty Lue.
Which Clippers fans seem to.
They hate him for some reason. And I'm like, why?
Yeah. Well, I think that they've given him some stuff recently. They finally realized, like they're fucking stupid and their stars are finally buying in. I mean, like, Kawhi Leonard has played 27 of 28 games for them this year. Like, holy crap.
Paul George has played most of the games, too. Harden's played every game, I think, as well. Russ has played it mainly every game.
Like, the first game or two where he just needed to, like, acclimate and apparently hit a couple strip clubs before start playing. But, you know.
Yeah, he had to knock him off the list,
Gotta get it off. But, all right. I think that's it. Oh, Merge, you had one last name.
Yeah, I had one player. He's not a flashy name, but he's a guard and he has a history of being a very good starting point guard, not on the current team he's on, but, and I know you're not the biggest fan of this guy, Clayton, but Tyus Jones is a very interesting one to me.
Oh,
I know that the Wizards are looking to trade him. I think I saw, I think he's on trade block. And he is, when he was on the Grizzlies, when Jaw was hurt, he was good.
I think Tyus is an elite backup point guard, an elite backup point guard, like a low end starter.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think he'd be better than D'Lo at this point. And he's the type of guy that the Lakers need at a point guard right now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They need
steady. Fine with that. Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Tyus, like, especially if you could get something else out of that, because I think you're going to need something else out of that.
I think he's only making like 12 or 11. Let's say
D'Lo is the trade, right?
Yeah.
It's D'Lo for
Tyus. He's at about 14 and a half.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you might be able to make that without it and without any other thing. So I might be wrong.
So hey, he's a free agent. Always try and get Mike Scala. He's an expiring. he's an expiring Tyus
Scala.
Okay. Yeah, I mean I could definitely try doing that. Maybe a Corey Kispert as well.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get him.
Yeah, I like Kispert.
I wouldn't do Johnny Davis. Johnny Davis sucks.
He's been
that is
almost like unsung, was, like horrible lottery pick. Like no one ever talks about him.
He was so bad. I remember when he was
because I think it was universally panned when it happened though.
No, like, it wasn't. That's
was it not?
Thing.
Everything no. I read was like he's shit.
No, he was like a Naismith Player of the Year award in college. Like, but yeah, no, just. It was just for them, I was just like, that doesn't make any sense because they don't know how to develop guys at all. And he went there and he's been dog shit. Like, yeah, like if the Lakers didn't have such the amount of wings, I'd be like, ah, I guess I could see it, you know, like cheap contract still. Mm-hmm. You have 3 years left to control, blah, blah, blah. But now, no.
Gafford's the guy that we talked about.
Yeah,
before.
But he's at 12 million. So. I mean, if you're trying to do like a D'Lo and like Torian Prince for those two, like I'd do that. But obviously, I at this point, Leah, my dream is fuck it, just get Levine just for the offense, because like if that's what they're going for, might as well just go all out for offense, you know. And then 100%. And then and like it's not like D'Lo's good on defense. He's playing like dog shit. Darvin isn't playing Ruby, so it doesn't matter. And just my only thing is don't trade Max for Levine straight up. That is my one wish. I know that they will push for Max.
No Max, that is, no that Austin.
Those are the two that they would want that I'm not giving up. Those and that maybe not giving up Max is silly. And it's just because, like,
if Caruso is included, then I certainly think about it.
Yeah, but even
that's when you're in the realm of, you know, you might have to do it.
Yes. Yeah, but even then though, like, I'm just still, I don't know if I want to. I'm just like, here's Jaden Hood-Schifino and a first round pick in a couple seconds. Like, that's, I mean, it's not like the Bulls need Levine. They're 7-3 in their last 10, I think, without Levine. So like. They're playing better without him at this point.
Been,
I don't think
yeah,
there is no Cody market for Levine. No one else wants Levine, apparently.
The Lakers are like they're negotiating with themselves essentially. They're the only team that would potentially be in on him.
Yep. I just don't want a AD situation of where you just gave up everything because you could.
Which it wouldn't. I think even someone like Pelinka can see that you're not giving
100%. I think he's seen what having no flexibility did.
I hope so. I sure hope so. All right. Anyways, I think we ended up talking about 20 minutes longer than we even expected to. So.
Well, we're talking about the Detroit Pistons and Dante Exum and the real topics.
Went down the rabbit hole because God, the Lakers are just so depressing. Mm-hmm. So
at least I got Yamamoto and Ohtani.
I'm an Angels fan. How do you think I feel?
I dog, I can't do. I can't have fun anywhere. The Yankees go and got one.
You're a Yankees fan. They have won like 27 world titles. Get the fuck out of here.
They haven't won one since 2009. So like
it's we haven't won one since 2002, and we just lost the two best players.
Yeah, but that's expected from the shitty Angels. That's expected from you fucking bums. Like that's not expected from the Yankees. This is the longest they've ever gone between World Series. Fuck off.
Oh, boo-hoo. We have 27 World Series. Oh, boo-hoo. We can't get another one.
Most of them were in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Fuck out of here, bitch.
I don't care.
I wasn't alive for
more. You've still been alive for more than I have.
But when they won in the 90s, I wasn't a baseball person. So, like, my fandom of the Yankees back then was more of just, like, because they were on TV and I was like in Iceland. So like as a military brat. But, anyways, God. And my Chiefs offense can't score. The Chiefs offense isn't any good anymore.
Oh, boo-hoo. We have Patrick Mahomes, amazing. Maybe the greatest quarterback of all time.
It's amazing. No one can catch the ball or run the correct routes. Kadarius Tony. Shout out to Rashee Rice. Kadarius Tony, you are the weakest link. Get the fuck out of the end.
Goodbye.
Sky Moore, I don't know. You just don't get it. You're a disappointment. You also were out of the NFL. Oh, God. Okay, we're done. Bye, guys. Have a good one.
Bye.
Later.